Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. And join us right now to talk some movies is our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. You can watch him on Fox and Friends as well. Hey, Kevin.
Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning, Jonathan Paul Flame. How are you, sir?
I'm Hello. Doing all right. So, Kevin, I know you want to talk about the Oscars and give us your predictions, but before you do that, I believe there are a couple movies that the junkies are interested in, which you may have seen, including Red Sparrow.
Yeah, tell me about that one. I heard Jennifer Lawrence being interviewed this week, and I don't know. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and that Red Sparrow is the only new movie I'm reviewing this week, and then I'm going to do the Academy Award nominations. But yeah, Red Sparrow is a brutal film, a very, very brutal R-rated movie. And the idea behind it is she plays a prima ballerina who gets into a horrible accident, and she's essentially forced to become a Russian spy based upon her family. And while she's a Russian spy, she kind of befriends Joel Edgerton's character, who's a CIA officer. And they're kind of playing each other. We don't know what's happening. It's very deceiving. The whole movie's about deception. And it really does a great job of kind of turning the spy genre into a different, brutal, like, way of watching it. Now, when Jennifer Lawrence has to go to this, essentially, she has to go to this, like, crazy school where she learns how to use her body to seduce people to get secrets out of them. And I'm telling you right now, there are images in this film that I feel like are going to be living in my nightmares for a long time, just based on the graphic nature of some of the violence, some of the torture. Mm-hmm. There are some really heavy duty themes happening here in this movie. But she's fantastic. I mean, she plays, she does the Russian accent very, very well. She's speaking in English, but with a Russian accent. Edgerton is just incredible. I loved him in Warrior. He's just one of those actors who really kind of just changes the game.
He's
very, very good.
Wasn't he in The Gift?
He's in The Gift. He's in Zero Dark 30. He's got a good resume.
Gordo the Weirdo.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin, are there like some hot sex scenes in this thing too for an R-rated movie?
I wouldn't call them hot. They're relatively disturbing.
That's hot.
I mean, she's in some scenes where, again, she's using her body, as I mentioned, in a seductress way to get information. But while she's at this school, I think I know what interview you're talking about, Eric. But it's graphic, and you're gonna see a lot of things in the movie when you watch it. It's R-rated for a reason. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, you're going to sit in the theater, you're going to be uncomfortable. But I mean, the scenes that I think you're asking about, Eric, I wouldn't call them hot. They're pretty messed up. Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of messed up how they actually portray it. So,
does she play a similar role? And I don't know if you watch The Americans, but does she play a similar role to what Kerry Russell plays in The Americans?
I don't watch The Americans. My wife does, and she didn't mention anything specific about it having any type of connection. I've heard people say that the movie reminded them of The Americans. Lawrence, again, was in D.C. a couple weeks ago. We did a whole interview with her at a Q&A. But I didn't watch The
was
Americans.
Was she cool?
That never really kind of came up. Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, here's the thing. Jennifer Lawrence is one of those people, in my opinion, she's better in longer form interviews. So when I had her, I hosted a Q&A with her in D.C., and I had 15 minutes with her and the director and Joel Edgerton. Uh-huh. By the way, Jason, Joel Edgerton directed The Gift as well.
Yes, he did.
She's great. When she gets really open and starts talking more and is a longer, when you have these 4-minute interviews, mm-hmm. When you're sitting down with the TV, it's very tough to kind of get more from her. Also, when I did her for a 4-minute TV interview, it was her, Edgerton, and Francis Lawrence all together for 4 minutes.
How hot is she in person?
Stunning.
Very.
Give me your top five. All right, you've met them all now. It's your gig.
Yeah.
Give me your top five in person hot actresses off the top
Number
of your head.
Number one. Number one, no question, the most beautiful actress I've ever met is Kate Beckinsale. I mean, I have I've never seen anybody more beautiful in person in
my
life.
Number two,
as an actress, besides my wife.
Love her in Serendipity. It's sized.
Yeah, dude, Serendipity is such a great movie. I went to the restaurant in New York once. It's so good.
EB loves her in Underworld.
I do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like vampires.
Hey, Valdez, is she on Celeb Jihad yet? Kate Beckinsale?
I'm going to Google that one.
Might be.
All right, what else?
Rings
a bell. Give me two through five off the top of your head.
Number two, Keira Knightley. I am actually shocked.
She's been in a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean movies, so probably not.
Oh, yeah, I don't really know her.
She led off with two brunettes.
Yeah, my number three is Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Number four, I'd probably go Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh,
and
really?
Then number five, it's funny. I've never actually put this list together in my mind until now.
So off the top,
you want to give us your top five guys? Probably done that.
Hey, well, top five guys right now are the guys from Queer Eye. They're amazing. That show is so good. I don't know if you guys are watching that. I know
Drabby's hyping that up. Too. And Valdez, too.
I'm telling you guys, everyone needs to watch that show. You have no idea what you're missing if you're not watching Queer Eye.
I think I might take a ride with it this weekend.
Maybe I will.
Give it a sample.
Everyone's hyping it up.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, Drab watched it, and he hyped it up to me. And I gave it, like, one episode, and after one episode, I was hooked. I watched all eight in 2 days. It was so silly.
Dude. I'm with you, man. The first episode of that show is still my favorite. The gentleman who has the lupus on his face. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But Tom is... Oh, it's so good. Like, I mean, like, I'm telling you right now.
Was it good?
It's a silly show. It definitely...
Is it going to make you cry and stuff? I don't want to watch that.
Really.
I saw his face. I don't even know what that is, but that doesn't sound good.
No, it's fun.
It's a good show.
I was just describing the character. That's not a defining aspect of the show. It's just the character. Remember Drab? He has some type of skin disease? The first gentleman from the first episode.
Yes, Rick. He has lupus.
I can't remember his name. The show is amazing.
All right.
I like the Silence of the Lambs.
Hey, what about
you never gave us the fifth woman?
How about the girl from who's in the Lara Croft? What's her name?
Oh, Alicia Vikander.
Oh my God,
she should be on your list.
She's got to be in.
I will give her five. I just sat down with her this weekend, and so she's married to Michael Fassbender, who's been in a bunch of films like Inglourious Basterds, and her new role as Tomb Raider. She put on like 12 pounds of muscle. Unbelievable. Like, she is. If you haven't seen a film called Ex Machina, that was their great sci-fi film. That
it's really good.
I always bring that film up.
Why does it have to say a film called Ex Machina?
Because he's a film nerd. He's a movie nerd.
Well, it's also, by the way, you know, speaking of the three three actors being in one room, I told you I was interviewing Jennifer Lawrence and Francis Lawrence and Joel Edgerton in one room for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I had to sit in a room with Oprah, Reese Witherspoon, and Mindy Kaling, and I only had 4 minutes with those three actresses. I mean, I have no idea how they even think we're supposed to get anything good.
You know how felted you are in comparison to those three women?
Hey, dude. Real quick, did you give the rating for Red Sparrow? I missed it.
Yeah, I gave it a four. It's worth seeing. Jason, I think that if you went for your $5 Tuesday because you're cheap, I think you should go to the,
should I see
the
it?
Tuesday one.
Right. What do you think?
Yeah. Eric, if we're thinking of the same interview that we listened to together, it was like an hour long interview.
I was listening to Stern. I don't know. You might. I'm still listening to Howard.
You can say his name. It's fine.
Yeah, I was driving home from a doctor's appointment. Like, it was like, and then he re-aired it like in his afternoon area.
Yeah,
and it was like it's a fascinating interview. But that particular interview, to me, that's who she is in real life. Like, you see her in all these like talk shows for 4 minutes, and it's not really, it's too confined. Like, Stern kind of opened her up and kind of showed you. That's the Jennifer Lawrence I've met and known for, you know, over the years. So
biggest time statement he's ever.
Super big time.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
That's
her.
The Jennifer Lawrence I've known for years.
Come on, just cop to
her. The biggest big time statement ever.
What I meant by that is I've interviewed her 9 times.
Wait, can you replay that? Can you replay that, Valdez? That's the biggest big time statement Kevin's made in the 15 years of the show.
Made me laugh.
When I get off the air, Eric, I got to call you tomorrow or today later on. I'll tell you a crazy story about Jennifer Lawrence. I can't say it on the air. It's too private.
I'm curious really now. Yeah, yeah. You can call me.
It's funny. but yeah, honestly, Red Sparrow, really good. Eric, I think you'll like it. Again, just so you guys know going in, it's very brutal.
Oh, he wants to do his Oscars.
We can handle it. We're Kevin.
All right, so is my film, Three Billboards, going to win Best Picture?
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, Jason. Right now, I'm doing a little bit of a wacky bit with my Best Picture prediction this year. Three Billboards is probably your safest bet, though. Here's why. It won the Golden Globe.
We have Gary coming up. Do you want to come back on at 9:40 to do your whole Oscar bit?
Let's do it. Let's totally do it.
Let's do that, because otherwise we're going to play you off and you're going to cry.
Yeah, you're bitter.
But let's just do the Oscar bit at 9:40.
I have a 9:40 Fox 5. Can we do 9:20?
Ask these boys.
Hold on, 9:20.
They'll figure out a time that works for you.
We'll figure out a time. We'll do 9.
I'll text Drab.
Exactly.
He has to talk about the Academy Awards. Remember,
I'm going to go call Jennifer Lawrence. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Remember, he named his dog Oscar.
Yes. That's the Jennifer Lawrence that I've known for years.
That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
I got to talk to you about 5-hour energy. I'm starting to feel a little energetic because I downed a citrus lime on the way in.
You pommeled it.
Hey, you stay up watching the UVA stunning win over Louisville last night like I did? I mean, how does Louisville lose that game? Unbelievable. What if you had a long week and need a pick-me-up to get you through a Friday? Valdez came up to me this morning, begged me to grab one for this afternoon. I got a bunch of them, boxes of them. He said he's got a million errands to run, needs to be alert and focused. And right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops tournament. You've got the ability to swap your selections during the tournament as the game is going on. You see an upset in the making? Swap the favorite out to ensure your bracket is 100% right. Go to wjfk.rtbrackets.com to sign up. That's wjfk.rtbrackets.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. John Feinstein joins us at 8. Craig Hoffman from the Combine at 9:20. We'll get the latest on what's going on with the Redskins, but very happy to be joined by Gary Williams on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's been a while since we've talked to the Hall of Fame Terps coach, and Jason brought him up yesterday because he did a podcast with Chris Knocke. What's happening, Gary?
Coach, how are you?
Good to listen to you guys. It's good to be on the show again.
Yeah, I miss you, man.
We haven't talked to you in years.
It's been a while.
Everything good? Everything good with you?
How quick you forget, you know? I mean, it's like...
We never forget, my friend.
Yeah,
never.
We never forget you.
Never. So, Jason was listening to the podcast yesterday. I mean, kick off with that. I mean, everybody knows that one of your big beefs there, sort of, you know, throughout your tenure, but particularly in the last few years, just your complaints about sort of the underbelly of recruiting and all this shadiness that goes on. And if anybody follows college basketball, you're aware of this. Maybe it's new to some people. When you heard some of these allegations coming out, what was the first thing that sort of came to your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been there for a while. I think that's the thing. And as a coach, and I think this is all coaches, you want a level playing field. That's what you're going for. You go into a game, you know, you win or lose the game as long as, you know, everything's the same for both teams. That's the way it goes. You know, you're either good enough, you're not good enough to win the game. And I always enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun coaching in those situations. And most situations are like that, but every once in a while you run into a situation and you're going against a player that you know, something was done with that player to, you know, outside the whatever the NCAA rules are at that moment, you know, that something happened with the player and, you know, all of a sudden he turns around and he beats you and, you know, you're not real happy about that after the game.
Mm-hmm. You know, with all these sort of allegations that have come out so far, the Miller thing is weird, and we can talk about that maybe in a few moments, but it seems like the schools can easily hide behind, well, I didn't know this agent or this runner. I mean, you know what I mean? I had nothing to do with this. Is there any plausible? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, you know better than I, but when you're running a program, you got 15 kids, a bunch of kids you're recruiting. I don't know how you could keep an eye out and make sure that nobody is getting their hands, you know, hooked.
I think that's true. I think there can be cases where a kid by the, you know, they get identified so early now, maybe sophomore year, say, and somebody tries to gain influence. So the problem that has become big is a lot of this stuff happens outside of the school year, the high school academic year for the player. It's during the summer, and right, there's really no control there. In other words, the high school federations don't want to get involved with the summer basketball. The NCAA hasn't gotten involved to the extent that they have to. You know, there's a lot of things you could do, and it'll be interesting that this commission that was formed by Condoleezza Rice and Grant Hill's on there, I know, and some athletic directors, and I'm sure there's a couple former coaches on there, to see if they can come up with a formula, because I think that's important. Now the other thing is people, you know, that committee say or whatever, we all have to be realistic, and there's five power conferences now. There's the Big East. You know, Cincinnati, Connecticut, teams like that around that, you know, all play at a very high level. Well, I think like football has done, and they quietly did it, they kind of separated themselves from the rest of the NCAA, and you don't see all these problems. I mean, there's still problems with football and recruiting, but you don't see as many now or as public as basketball is getting. And I think something has to be done in that area where people realize that, you know, basketball is a little different at those power conference schools. And, you know, there has to be different rules than there are for the rest of the sports at that particular university.
Mm-hmm. Well, you in particular talked about the recruiting of Kevin Durant when he was at Montrose. And Kevin, you know, bounced around from a few different schools but ended up going to Montrose for senior year. And you talked about how you wish you would have spoken up more, and you talked about how when you wanted to talk to Kevin Durant, you weren't given him permission because, I think you said this, that Texas had placed him at Montrose so his grades could improve.
Well, what can you talk about that? I don't know if Texas placed him there or if he needed his grades to improve, but, you know, it was just, you know, we were recruiting Gravis Vasquez at the time, and mm-hmm. it was pretty well established that Durant was going to Notre Dame, and to Texas, and right, and that was, you know, done, and so we turned our attention to Vasquez for sure, and it worked out well for us. But, you know, that's just an example. You know, that goes on all the time. I mean, that wasn't unusual, and there really isn't anything specific about that other than that he went there to improve himself academically. Obviously, basketball, he was great by then, and you know, he went to Texas. So, I mean, that's the way it goes, and you know, that didn't bother me as much as some things do, because there's other things that go on, and you know, getting back to it is a lot of it happens. It can happen from an agent, as we've seen. It can happen from just boosters, you know. Don't forget that. And you know, schools are clever. You know, they're not stupid. They go 3-4 people removed from the university, and that's why it's tough to really track it down. And you know, I don't know if there has to be more severe punishment, you know, a bigger threat that, you know, to your program or whatever, but you know, this isn't good for college basketball right now. We're going into the NCAA tournament in 2 weeks, and all we're talking about is, you know, what's going on in college basketball instead of the games.
Right.
And, you know, it's such a great game. You hate to see anything take away from that.
So when you say you should have spoken up or you should have done more, what did that mean exactly?
Well, you know, as you guys know, the coaches, you know, kind of like wink and nod, you know, at each other. I don't know if there's a fear of, you know, if you say something, I'm going to say something, that type of thing. And, you know, the coaches, you know, it's their game. You know, the NABC, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, they talk about the coaches being guardians of the game. Well, if that's true and you really care about the game, then you want to play the right way. And, you know, there's some things in there that, you know, make that very difficult. The one-and-done rule has really hurt college basketball since it's been in force. And, you know, just things like that that are pretty easy to see, and yet it takes such a long time to get things changed. It's hard to believe.
So talk it through us, you know, with us there, Coach. So if you take away the one-and-done rule and you give kids the opportunity just to go in straight from high school, I think that's cool. That's fine. They should be given that opportunity. How does that help? Because some kids may still just go for 1 year and leave.
Oh yeah, they should have the right to do that. That's
right.
Not a problem. I mean, you'll have kids that didn't think they were that good, then they tear it up their first year. But at least if a kid makes a commitment to go to school, and he doesn't think he's good enough to play the NBA, then in the back of his mind, he's thinking about getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now these one and done guys, you know, they announce before they even go that they're just there for the 5 months,
right,
whatever length the basketball season is, and that's it. They're gone, and it doesn't. You know, a lot of kids nowadays, like in that one and done area, they don't even visit the campus. They just look at the situation. Am I going to get a chance to play? Is that a coach that
right.
can get me to the pros? That type of thing. And you know, really, an academic major or what's the campus like? Those things don't even come into play in recruiting anymore.
Right.
How many classes do they even have to take in the fall? Because some guys will get through the college basketball season, like Ben Simmons, and then they bounce immediately. I mean, how many courses did they actually take during their stay there?
Well, you enroll just like any other student. I think it's still like 12 credits is a full-time academic load. And so you enroll for that. And most schools, you enroll for the second semester somewhere in that first semester. And then there's schools that, you know, check academic standing at the end of the first year. And there's a minimum you have to do that first semester, but it might be like six. You got to pass 6 credits or whatever to remain eligible to play, and that type of thing. So, really, it's and you can't blame the players because, in my mind, you know, people say, well, he could have gone to Europe and played a year and made money, but you know, you get the publicity here. I mean, if your team's in the NCAA tournament, that's a tremendous marketing for you. If you are going into the pros that next year.
Talking to the great Gary Williams. All right, so let's move on to the Arizona deal. Sean Miller missed the game against Oregon last weekend. They lost the game. He didn't coach. The school asked him to sit it out while they did their own investigation. You know about the allegations from ESPN. They claim that they had a source that heard him on a wiretap arranging payment for DeAndre Ayton. Now, Sean Miller's back last night. In the game against Stanford, he had a press conference. He said, I've never done this. I would never do it. I will never do it ever. He looked right in the eyes of all those media members into the camera and said, it's all BS.
And it's also being reported that it was misreported,
right,
that it was actually Bowen and not Ayton.
And Arizona did their own investigation, didn't find anything. So it's hard not to believe a coach. And I know people lie all the time, Gary, but it's hard not to believe Sean Miller when he looks you in the eye and says, I didn't do it. It's BS. I would never do it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's. I agree with you. You know, that's what he said. And then I watched the press conference, and, you know, he was very emphatic about how he felt about that. And so what you have is ESPN's report, and then you have Sean Miller. Well, one of them is wrong. I don't know. No, nobody will know until the FBI releases the data that they have. And so, yeah, obviously there's educated people at Arizona, and they met with Sean Miller, and the Board of Trustees met, and, you know, that was their decision. So it's very difficult to say that until you know the facts. You know, you can speculate all you want, but, there's when the facts come out, we'll know. But right now, ESPN's standing by their story, and Miller's standing by his story, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so let's talk about Maryland for a second here. Obviously disappointing. Whatever, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, Mark's done well his last 4 or 5 years. I think going into the season, he'd averaged 26 wins, you know, over the previous 3 years. Just injuries, I think, really hurt them. Coach, are you still there? I feel like we lost him.
I feel like we did, too.
Because yeah. There's no response.
Coach, are you still there?
Definitely not
there
now.
Can you call him back? I want to ask him. I'm going to ask him specifically about what he would say to Bruno Fernando and Justin Jackson, because this is the exact kind of situation that would make him nuts. That kids, you know, and I don't blame them either because they feel like this is their chance. But
I can't imagine either of those kids going pro.
He had guys, though, make bad moves during his tenure.
All the time. But
Gilchrist.
But here's the other thing you got to think about kids, and he might be able to tell you this too, but some kids just hate school.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to tell a kid, come back to school, go through the workload.
But I don't think it's that as much as
the tutoring.
I think it's the lure of the potential riches is what they're going for.
It is. But those kids coming out of high school were only thinking about that too. They just knew that they had to, by rule, go to school for a year.
They didn't have any other real choice.
Right. So some kids just hate it.
Yep. I know. I hated school too, but you know, I went for years.
I know, but we didn't have the same opportunity that the other kids
but
did.
But believe me, I hated it. I get hating school.
I'm sure a lot of kids don't love it.
Yeah. I can't imagine many of them like
it. Most kids don't.
So I'm going to assume that's a given. So they all hate it.
Yeah. So if they hate it enough.
Is he there?
All right, let's get to him.
Coach, are you there? Lost you there for a sec. Coach?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we lost our power here. I'm on the cell now.
So. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
You all right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the wind's crazy.
Yeah, it's just going about 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's all. That's all.
I got a couple big trees that I'm looking at right now. So.
Yeah, keep an eye on it.
Get in the basement, right, Coach.
So here's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So obviously, disappointing season for Maryland and Mark, but, you know, he'd won 26 games 3 previous years. You know, whatever. This is what happens. Had some injuries. Here's what I want to ask you specifically, though. So apparently, reportedly, Justin Jackson and Bruno Fernando are really, I mean, they're going to consider leaving. This is the exact kind of situation I know that would make you crazy. I mean, Fernando's been there for a minute. He's not ready. But if somebody projects you to go, these kids feel the need to go. Same thing with Justin Jackson. Didn't even play this year. If you were advising those two kids, what would you say?
Well, I look at each individual case. I mean, I had Joe Smith after his sophomore year. He was the first player taking the draft. He had to go. You know,
right.
I mean, that was a great opportunity financially for Joe and his family. And I think that's the thing that people don't really know is what the background is for that particular player. And, you know, a lot of times they have no money. I mean, they just have no money. And it's an opportunity to make money. And it's very difficult to tell a kid. I mean, you know, I think we all grew up without a lot of money. And all of a sudden, there's a great financial situation. Maybe it's out there for you. The thing you have to watch is that you leave and you're not ready to leave and you don't make it. You drift around maybe a couple of years in Europe or the G League, and then you're done playing basketball.
It's over.
You don't have your education. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough thing. And I'm sure Mark will talk with each player and you know, try to advise him in the best way he can. And a lot of times, you know, you see it differently than the people around the player. The family sees it one way and you see it another way. And, you know, often, you know, people can look at it as, well, the coach just wants that player to come back, you know, to make his team good again next year. Well, that's not true, usually. I mean, sure, you want him to come back because it'll be a better team if that player comes back. But at the same time, you know, you're looking at his best interest, too. In other words, if a guy plays for you, I always felt that, you know, the trust had to be there between the player and the coach to have the best possible team, the best possible outcome for the player. So if I tell a player something, I'm going to tell him what I think is best for him. And it might not always be what's best for my program. And I'm sure that across the country, guys in the same position that, you know, are going to look at things. But that doesn't mean they're going to go.
Garrick, you always give the example of Walt Williams and talk about how indebted you are to him for him staying. Other guys left. He stayed. And, you know, the guy's a legend still in College Park and had a great pro career. Can you think of another guy, though, that maybe was a little marginal or something where you convinced him to stay and it also worked out for him? Are there other guys?
Yeah, I thought Steve, after his junior year, we had a Final Four. He really considered it because, you know, Baxter and Wilcox and Juan all made it to the pros. And, you know, Steve.
Damn it.
All right.
His family thought that was good.
Damn it. Damn,
all right, he's breaking up. Gary, thank you very much for joining us. The signal's kind of getting very choppy.
Talk
there.
To Gary for us, please.
Awesome for man, to hear from Coach
Williams.
Tell him
the storm is no joke, man.
I know. Don't mess around.
When's that happening?
But he's pointing out Steve Blake. And Steve Blake had an amazing NBA career. I didn't see it.
Did
I didn't
last,
see it.
Did he last
I remember
14 years or something?
I had a buddy he used to play hoops with, and he was like, Steve Blake's going to be an NBA All-Star. Now, he never made it that far, and I was like, he'll be lucky to be in the league. He's in the league forever.
Made a ton of money.
Long career.
Yeah.
But Gary said it. I mean, his point was, it's tough to tell a kid, come back, go to school, which I know you hate, just because it'll make you a better player.
Yeah, but that's easy for the top picks for Joe Smith.
Yeah, yeah, I get
it's
it.
The marginal ones.
Yep. Right.
Those again, are the ones.
I know, but
stay.
They can still go. And we had this argument about Trimble. They
should've
can,
stayed,
they can
opinion.
Still go make money somewhere.
Yeah, you can go make money somewhere, but in 3 or 4 years when you got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, maybe.
You can be looking for a sales job.
You'd be better to exhaust your options and then go do it. I just don't see the rush.
He was in the league 03 to 16.
It doesn't mean it's going to change if they stay one more year and leave after
it
their sophomore year.
It probably won't change, but at least you maximize your opportunity.
By the way, Nugget, I didn't know about Steve Blake. Do you know where he was born?
No. I would just...
He's straight out of Compton.
You're kidding.
I mean, unless Wikipedia is
he's
lying.
Born in Compton, California?
Born February 26, 1980.
But where did he go to high school?
He's Florida.
Yeah, he was raised in Florida, but he was born in Compton.
So that's where he's from.
He's from Compton.
Well, that's what I told you, and when you were arguing about the Caps player, you thought he was from Burakovsky or whatever. And
that was different.
You battled me on that.
I did battle you. That's true.
That was during a game. Yeah, you have to stick to the rules.
Yeah, you have to stick to the parameters.
Speaking of games, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Caps Winnipeg Jets game. That's coming up March 12th. We also have tickets to go see Imagine Dragons in concert. Grab wants us to play Missing Link, so we will play Missing Link next. You can call him now at 800-636-1067. Do the morning matchup next on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106 of The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. John Feinstein joins us top of the hour for Fridays with Feinstein. Then we'll head out to the Combine. Our pal Craig Hoffman, Redskins beat reporter for 106.7 The Fan, will give us the latest as he's covering the NFL Combine. But we've given away great prizes all week. We've had these tickets to go see the Caps Jets. That's coming up March 12th. And tickets to go see Imagine Dragons in concert. You can hear Radioactive.
Thunder.
You can hear all their sillies
thunder.
July
and the
2nd.
Lightning. And the thunder.
At Jiffy Lube Live.
The silly. Imagine Dragons. They won't bring you on stage.
They should.
Back up
they
vocals.
Should.
Yeah. And we've got
I'd like to see it.
Two pair to give away right now. So let's punch up our first contestant.
I don't know if mine are that silly.
What's Valdez laughing at?
I'm thinking about taking your little singing, and I'm going to put it to the track.
I think you should do it.
No, it wasn't that.
Definitely do it.
It was like 2 seconds.
Work your magic, Valdez.
All right, let's punch up our first contestant. I believe it's Jim on line one.
Jimmy.
What we're going to do is we're going to give each contestant 10 seconds to figure it
10
out.
10 seconds
and
is an
then
eternity.
We'll move on.
All right.
That's plenty of time to Google.
Jim, you have to figure out the missing link.
Maybe
I'll lead it off. Calvin blank Scott.
Go, Valdez.
Got it.
Ridley.
Very good.
Oh, nicely. That was a quick one. You've won a pair of tickets to see Imagine Dragons live in concert July 2nd at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now through Live Nation and the Jiffy Lube Live box office. But win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan.
Ridley Scott, of course, famous director. Calvin Ridley will be drafted probably in the first round. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver from Alabama.
Yes.
Correct.
That was well done.
Correct.
All right, let's punch up our next contestant. We have three more prizes to give away.
Let's go to Billy.
Germantown. Hey, guys.
Billy, what's up?
Bill.
All right. Hey. Missing link. Dwight blank University.
No idea.
Come on. Think about it.
You have about 5 more seconds.
How many guys named Dwight?
Howard.
There you go.
Oh, he got it in 9.8 seconds.
Man,
you get a pair of tickets to see your Washington Capitals take on the Winnipeg Jets March 12th. At the Capital One Arena, tickets on sale now through the Capital One Arena box office, but you can win your way in with 106.7 The Fan.
Those just think about it. He was
courtesy of Monumental Sports.
He was going to give up.
He was.
He was just going to give up.
He just needed a little push, some prodding.
You helped him. By the way, I bet in my head, blind, once you said Dwight, I immediately went Howard.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I was like, is he going to go with Cosell?
How many guys named Dwight
How many Dwights are there? There really aren't a lot.
Dwight.
The Tim Dwight.
Schrute is.
Well, yes, from The Office.
How about Dwight?
How about Reginald Dwight?
Yes.
Is Dwight his name Evans? Dwight Schrute? I'm sleeping
was
on
it
his
Dwayne?
Name. I feel it was Dwight.
What was the Office character's name?
I think his name's Dwight.
Dwight Schrute. Right.
He's
Dwight.
Definitely a beet farmer.
Yeah.
What about the
beets are gross? Dwight Evans.
Dwight Evans, my man, favorite baseball player ever.
Is it Dewey? Is that his name?
Dewey Evans.
Love him.
From Santa Monica, California.
Not that many Dwights.
Where? What was
Dwight
the,
Yoakam?
What was,
is that a country artist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, it's hard to do a missing link with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Yoakam.
What was
you
the
know who
pole?
That is.
Not the pole vaulter, but the what do they call that? The
Dwight
high jumper.
High jumper.
Okay.
What was his name? Dwight, wasn't it?
Stone.
Stone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, let's punch up our next contestant. Two more prizes to give away. Actually, two for two on missing link. Surprisingly.
Let's go to is it Trent in Leesburg? Hey, Trent, what's up?
Good morning.
Hey, Trent. You know, I'm going to bump it up. I think this is a little bit more difficult.
Great.
You have 10 seconds to figure out the missing link. Aaron blank Ramsey.
Aaron blank Ramsey.
I've
Aaron
got it.
Gordon
got it.
Ramsey.
Yeah.
The nice listeners job. Are on point today.
Hey, we want to
give away the prizes. You've also won a pair of tickets to see Imagine Dragons live in concert. It'll be Jason on background vocals when they play Thunder.
And the Thunder.
Bingo. Thank
you. And the Lightning. And the Thunder.
He's definitely going to make a mashup with that. I mean, he's got a lot of material now.
Let's go to Chris in Sterling. He's left one prize left.
That's
hey,
it.
Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Chris, missing link. Mike blank Peterson. Mike blank Peterson.
Got it.
Jordan?
No. Got a few more seconds. Quick.
Adrian.
No.
Nope. No Mike Adrian Peterson.
I'm in the tunnel there.
Mike blank Peterson.
Are we using it on someone else?
No. Oh. Give us the answer.
Think ESPN play-by-play guy.
ESPN play-by-play guy?
Well, that's not it.
It's not the one I have on my list.
Not Mike Patrick Peterson?
It's not.
Oh, all right. What'd you
that's
have?
That's actually a good one, though.
I have Mike Scott Peterson.
Ah.
Mike yeah. Scott for the Wizards. Scott Peterson, of course.
The sociopath.
Yes, correct.
Well done. Missing Link. All right. Who's our next contestant as we play Missing Link here?
Go to Armando in Herndon. Hey, Armando.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Armando. Sean blank light.
Ooh. Peyton?
Oh, I've got it. But easy.
Sean blank light.
So simple.
That's like too easy.
I don't have it.
It's too, just too
so easy. It's so easy.
You know
easy.
When you know it, it light. Just makes the other person feel
what
stupid.
What does he be?
Miller,
of course.
Sean Miller Lite.
Oh. Goes down so easy.
How'd you not get that, Rick? We've been talking about Sean Miller.
Because I was thinking of a person with the last name Light.
Yeah, because you don't.
I think right. I could drink a 12-ounce Miller Lite in about three swigs and gone.
Right now?
No, not right now. But like if I
after
had,
his run.
Just goes down so easy.
I'll just do one right now.
Why would I have one at 7:51 in the morning?
I have vodka in my locker.
Because I have a drinking problem.
It's fun, yeah.
Who's the next contestant?
Can I do a shot of vodka cakes? I have some in the
no,
locker.
I'm not, no,
I think it's like apple.
I don't. I don't think try not to apple. Do shots at 47 apple. Years of age. Hmm. It's a policy that I've stuck with.
But you're no fun.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Brendan, how are you, buddy?
Apple.
Doing great.
All right,
thank
Brendan,
you.
This should be a layup for you. Missing link.
Uh-oh.
Jennifer blank Kansas.
Jennifer,
ooh.
Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence.
There you go.
You're
going
to go see the Caps
I also
the
got
Jets.
That in blind without his last one.
But look, we have four prizes. We want to give them away.
What has he won?
Caps Jets tickets.
Very nice.
Courtesy of Monumental Sports. He's a big winner.
How about Mike blank Beverly?
Mike Patrick Beverly.
Too easy. The Beverly is too easy.
How about
yeah.
Jason blank Rozier?
Bishop.
Terry, Jason Terry.
Yeah, for the nerds.
This one's too easy. Paul blank Springer.
Paul Jerry, Paul.
Paul.
Springer. Paul Springer.
Paul Jerry.
What's a spring? What's in front of a Springer?
Paul Gary Springer.
Isn't George Springer on the Astros?
Paul George Springer. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good
I thought
one.
There was a baseball dog.
Paul thought that was good.
You cross pollinating sports.
Right,
I like
no,
it.
But I did that because you immediately go to Jerry Springer.
Yes, that's right. I was like, who's Paul Jerry?
You're in the Jerry.
I just don't know who Paul Jerry is.
Yeah, I've never heard
I don't
of
know
Paul
that
Jerry.
Guy.
All right, coming up next, Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
Ooh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.